Hi, this is Ted Haggard from New Life Church in Colorado Springs. The program you're about to hear is written and produced by a friend of mine, Gordon Klingenschmidt. I've known Gordon personally for 12 years, and I've seen the fruit of his life. He's an honorable servant of the Lord. I've also endorsed his book and recommend his ministry to you. So I encourage you to listen to what he has to say and write to him and support Persuade the World Ministries. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Welcome, and thank you for joining this radio broadcast of Persuade the World Ministries. You're about to hear part 11 of 18 in our radio production of the book written and taught by Gordon James Klingenschmidt, entitled License to Sin, the number one reason America is losing its moral foundation. If you call us in the next hour, we'll mail you a free cassette tape of today's broadcast, which you can copy and give to your friends. Just call our toll-free number, 866-OBEY-GOD. That's toll-free, 1-866-OBEY-GOD. Gordon James Klingenschmidt is a graduate of the United States Air Force Academy and a seminary graduate of Regent University, holding both MBA and Master of Divinity degrees. He's also the founder and servant of Persuade the World Ministries, a 501c3 tax-exempt religious nonprofit corporation in Colorado Springs, dedicated to persuading individuals in America and throughout the world to forsake their sins and submit their hearts and minds to the loving rulership of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, with today's teaching, here is Gordon James Klingenschmidt.
Thanks, Mark. Today we continue our mini-drama entitled The Theological Adventures of Johnny Lukewarm and Pastor Loophole. You remember our characters, Johnny Lukewarm and Pastor Loophole. Johnny is a non-Christian who calls himself a Christian. He wants to go to heaven when he dies, but he doesn't want to make Jesus the Lord of his life. So he gets his advice from Pastor Loophole, who tells him everything his itching ears want to hear. "Pastor Loophole," says Johnny, "I'm very upset about this particular passage of Scripture. It seems as though God is commanding me to do something I really don't want to do. Do I really have to repent and stop sinning and obey God, or is there some other alternative?"
"Why, certainly there is, Johnny Lukewarm. You just relax. I can offer you dozens of alternatives and give you very logical reasons why you don't have to obey God."
"Oh, thank goodness. For a minute there, I thought I'd actually have to change my behavior and obey God." Johnny Lukewarm breathes a big sigh of relief. He sits forward eagerly with his itching ears, searching for some way of escape from the Holy Spirit's conviction. But the Spirit of God is grieved away, and he slowly withdraws his conviction from Johnny's life. Now let's continue with loophole number 6, entitled, "Guilt Does Not Come from God." So here's Pastor Loophole again.
"Watch out, Johnny, for the accuser of the brethren," says Pastor Loophole, referring to the devil. "If you ever hear an inner voice pronouncing you guilty, just ignore that voice. That voice comes from the devil, trying to make you forget what Jesus did for you on the cross. Jesus forgives your sins even while you continue to enjoy them, even if you don't repent. So if you feel ashamed or guilty about your sinful behavior, stop feeling so bad. Guilt does not come from God."
"Wow, thanks, Pastor Loophole. That really helps," says Johnny Lukewarm. "Now I don't feel so guilty. Now I can suppress all that conviction and guilt that I've been feeling."
Time out. Let's look at the scriptures, everybody, and analyze Pastor Loophole's advice.
Let's rightly divide the word of truth and separate the truth from the lies in the advice given by Pastor Loophole. First, I want to acknowledge the true part. It's true that the devil accuses believers of their sins when he's talking to God. But the lie is that every time you feel guilty, it's the devil who's making you feel guilty. And the other lie is that Jesus forgives your sins even while you continue to enjoy them. But here's the truth to replace those lies. When you feel guilty about your sins, that's your conscience speaking, not the devil. When you feel convicted, that's the Holy Spirit who's convicting you to repent. He's convicting you and finding you guilty, just like in a court of law when a jury convicts you as guilty. The Bible says when He, the Holy Spirit, comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin. God Himself might be making you feel guilty in regard to your sin, so He can then persuade you to forsake those sins and set you free from your deadly sins. Watch out for Pastor Loophole's lies, because he tells you to ignore your conscience and ignore the Holy Spirit when you ignore your guilty feelings. The Spirit says clearly that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Pastor Loophole, if you're out there listening, your conscience has been seared as with a hot iron. That's why you tell people to ignore their guilty feelings. You're telling them to sear their consciences when you say that guilt only comes from the devil. But that's a lie. The truth is that when the devil acts as the accuser of the brethren, he accuses you before God, not to your face. The devil wants to remind God about your sins, not you. The devil would never warn you about your sins because he's afraid you just might repent. No, the devil doesn't want you to repent. He would rather whisper in your ear just how holy you are, telling you that you don't have to repent. But don't listen to that voice. No, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, who convicts you of your guilt and even accuses you, but then he persuades you to forsake your sins and submit your heart and mind to the loving rulership of Almighty God. If you feel guilty, confess your sins to God. He'll cleanse you. He'll set you free. But not if you suppress your guilty feelings and sear your conscience and silence the voice of the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit away. Repent and forsake your known sins, and by doing so, save your life. Now let's change gears here and move on to loophole number 7, entitled, There's No Condemnation. Haven't you read Romans 8:1? Pastor Loophole continues, but listen to how he only preaches from half of the Bible and ignores the half that he doesn't like. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, then you should never feel condemnation, even if you continue to enjoy your sins. You don't have to submit to Jesus as your Lord, just believe he forgives you, and that makes it true. God won't speak words of condemnation to you, even if you continue to enjoy your sins. Time out! Let's look at the scriptures again, everybody, and analyze Pastor Loophole's advice. First, I want to acknowledge the true part. It's true that there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But the lie is that you are in Christ Jesus if you are still enjoying your deadly sins. Here's the truth to replace that lie. If you're still enjoying your sins, you're not in Christ Jesus. Have you ever read the second half of that verse, Romans 8:1? Here's the whole thing. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you walk after the flesh and you don't walk after the Spirit, you're not in Christ Jesus. The Bible says no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. So if you keep on sinning, you don't live in him. If you keep on sinning, you deserve nothing but condemnation and more condemnation. You're guilty, 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 and you'll perish in hell unless you immediately repent and forsake your known sins. You'll never be saved unless you immediately surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, the man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. So if you don't walk as Jesus did, in actual holiness, then you're not in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And if you're not in Christ Jesus, you stand condemned, not by me, but by God himself. Now, some of you out there listening might feel a little bit guilty right now. I want you to know that I love you and I care about you, but I'm telling you the truth. So if I tell you the truth in love and it makes you feel guilty, then what should I do? Should I stop telling you the truth? Should I tell you lies instead? Should I disguise the truth and subtle innuendo and make my language more flowery and beat around the bush and pander to your sensual desires and then apologize if you get offended? Should I remain silent and let you die in your deadly sins? No, I love you too much for that. Here's the truth. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. I can hear Pastor Loophole out there saying, he's just preaching condemnation. But, you know, it's really not possible for me to preach condemnation to you unless you really are guilty. It's just not possible. Let me prove it. Now, if I came up to you and I accused you of robbing a bank, but you've never actually robbed a bank, how would you feel? Would you feel guilty? Would you feel condemned? No way. Your conscience would leap to your aid, proclaiming your innocence based on the truth. You'd laugh out loud. You'd say, I've never robbed a bank. I'm not guilty. I don't feel any condemnation. Now, what if I accused you of being sexually immoral? Would you feel condemnation then? Well, it depends. If you're not sexually immoral, you wouldn't feel condemnation. You'd just say, that's not me. But if you have been sexually immoral and you still haven't repented, you probably would feel condemnation. Now, what if I accused you of stealing from God because you haven't paid your tithes? Would you feel condemnation then? Well, it depends. If you do pay your tithes, you wouldn't feel any condemnation or guilt. You wouldn't feel guilty at all because you know that you do pay your tithes. But if you don't pay your tithes and you are stealing money from God, you probably feel condemned right now. So can you see how it's really impossible for me to condemn you unless you really are guilty in refusing to repent? Nobody can preach condemnation to you unless you really are guilty. But if you're not guilty, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, if you've truly repented, and you've changed your heart, and your behavior reflects that change of heart, then rejoice, because Jesus paid for your sins when he died on the cross. The atoning sacrifice of Jesus' shed blood on the cross makes you clean and forgiven, as white as snow, no matter what you've done in the past. But if you haven't repented, and you keep on enjoying your deadly sins, then what Jesus did on the cross doesn't apply to you. You'll never escape those feelings of guilt and condemnation and shame because you're still embracing your sins. You stand condemned, not by me, not even really by God or by the devil, but by your own guilty conscience. Now, there really are two ways to ease a guilty conscience. The first way is to silence your conscience by suppressing it. You can ignore your guilty conscience till it becomes seared as with a hot iron. But even if you suppress your sins out of your memory, God won't forget your sins. You may close your eyes and even pretend to be forgiven, but the Holy Spirit continues to whisper in your ear, guilty, guilty, guilty. But if you repent and you change the desires of your heart and forsake your known sins, then God will forgive you, no matter what you've done in the past. When you confess your sins to God, the Holy Spirit whispers in your ear, forgiven, forgiven, clean, you are my child. The Holy Spirit testifies with your spirit that you are now a child of God. You stand truly forgiven in Christ, and condemnation can't come near you. This is the path to eternal life. Let's pray together. Would you stop what you're doing for a moment and just pray these words with me to God? Go ahead and say them out loud. Father in heaven, I am so sorry for delaying repentance and continuing to enjoy my deadly sins. I repent right now, and I forsake my known sins, especially that one sin that you've been speaking to me about in the last few minutes. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for even thinking that way. I change my mind, Lord, and I change the desires of my heart to loving you instead of loving my own selfishness. And I forgive that person who hurt me. I receive your cleansing forgiveness, which Jesus bought for me when he died on the cross. Lord Jesus, I invite you to come and rule my heart forever. In your name I pray. Amen. Did you just pray with me? If you just prayed with me, would you just say amen? Go ahead and say it out loud. Amen, Lord Jesus. Now, if you just prayed with me, why don't you give me a call and get a copy of this cassette tape? Here's Mark with that information.
Thanks, Gordon. He'll be back in just a moment. But first, do you know somebody who needs to hear today's message? If you call our toll-free number in the next hour, 866-OBEY-GOD, we'll mail you a free cassette tape of today's broadcast, which you can copy and give to your friends. All our tapes are copyable and free. But please remember, we need your donations to stay on the air and give away these free tapes. So please pray and obey, then send us your best possible donation after you receive your free cassette.
Hey, time out. If it's your first time contacting us, no donation is required. Just call us.
Our toll-free number is 866-OBEY-GOD. That's 1-866-OBEY-GOD. And please specify you're requesting today's program, cassette tape number L11. Do you believe America needs to hear these messages? If so, we're specifically asking you to join the Persuaders Club and to sponsor this radio broadcast with a monthly pledge of just $15. If you join the Persuaders Club, we'll also send you an autographed copy of Gordon's book. Just visit our website at persuaders-club.com or call us in the next hour at 866-OBEY-GOD. Right now, let's return to Gordon James Klingenschmidt.
Thanks again, Mark. Now, loophole number 8 is in our book, and it's when Pastor Loophole accuses all holiness preachers of being judgmental. We just don't have time to cover that one in detail, so you'll have to get our book. But since I'm thinking about it, I just want to remind everybody that I am not your judge. Only God can be your judge. I'm not interested in judging you, and frankly, I'm not smart enough to judge you. And I also don't have authority over you. And I'm not your Lord, and you don't answer to me. I'm just your equal, a peer, a member of your generation. I am not your judge, but I am called to be a messenger, sent from the one who will judge you someday soon. And this is God's message to you. Repent and forsake your sins. Love God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do this, and you will live. Now here's Pastor Loophole again with loophole number 9, entitled, The Tyranny of the Words Ought and Should. Don't let the words ought and should ruin your freedom in Christ. All those do's and don'ts in the Bible just distract you from God's grace or God's tolerance and make your Christian life much less enjoyable. When somebody says you ought to do something or you shouldn't do something, that's just the devil trying to make you a slave again to God's law. Don't let the words should and ought take away your freedom in Christ and in grace. Time out again. Let's look at the scriptures, everybody, and analyze Pastor Loophole's advice. First, I want to acknowledge the true part. It's true that if you willfully enjoy your sins, the shoulds and oughts in the Bible will ruin your fun. But the lie is that God never says the words should or ought, do and don't. God says them all the time. Here's the truth to replace that lie. Did you know the word should is in the New Testament 155 times? And every single time, it's used to tell somebody to do something they're not doing. In the book of Luke, the crowd asked, "What should we do then?" And John the Baptist answered, "The man who has two tunics should share with him who has none. And the one who has food should do the same." The tax collectors asked, "What should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you're required to," he told them. And then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely." And in the book of Mark, the disciples went on and preached that people should repent. And in Luke, Jesus said, "I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing the body, has the power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." And when Jesus told the parable of the persistent widow, it says he told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. You know, the shoulds and the oughts are in the Bible dozens of times, especially in the New Testament. And Jesus said, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Should, should, should. It's everywhere in the teachings of Christ. You know, I embrace these words, should and ought. They enhance my freedom in Christ because they help set me free from my deadly sins. So whenever you see the word should in the Bible, circle it, highlight it. It's followed by wisdom from God. Now, Pastor Loophole tells us that we should just ignore these tyrannical words, should and shouldn't, do and don't. But Jesus said we ought to do what God requires. Now, Johnny Lukewarm, if you're out there listening, whom should you obey? Should you obey the teachings of Pastor Loophole and just ignore those words? Or should you obey the teachings of Jesus and the Bible? All right, let's change gears again. Now, going on to loophole number 10, which I've entitled, Focus on Being Instead of Doing. Here's Pastor Loophole again. Now, we don't want to get into a salvation by works mentality. The first sign that you're trying to be saved by works is that you feel guilty because you're not doing enough for God. You may even hear a voice telling you to repent of your laziness and slothfulness and selfish priorities, but that's just the devil trying to tempt you into salvation by works. God isn't concerned with your doing things as much as he is with your just being. After all, we're human beings, not human doings. So, if you're convicted by scriptures demanding hard work and self-discipline and sacrifice, just ignore those and focus instead on the scriptures which call for rest and relaxation. If you're not doing anything for God, don't worry. God is still very pleased with you. Christ's yoke and burden are very, very light. Time out, everybody. Let's look at the scriptures again and analyze Pastor Leupold's advice. First, I want to acknowledge the true part. It's true that God wants to transform your heart before he transforms your actions. But the lie is that God isn't interested in your outward actions. It's a lie that if you're not doing anything for God, he's pleased with you just the way you are. But here's the truth to replace that lie. The New Testament is full of God's commands to do things, not just to be. Here's some examples. Jesus said, "Do unto others what you'd have them do unto you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." And Jesus also said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And Jesus said, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And you know, Jesus will also say to you on the day of judgment, "Whatsoever you do unto these, the least of my brothers, you did it unto me. And whatsoever you didn't do unto the least of these, my brothers, you didn't do unto me." And Jesus asks you, Johnny Lukewarm, if you're out there listening, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" The servant who knows his master's will and does not do it will be beaten with many blows. Jesus himself must have been a human doing and not just a human being, because he said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." And he prayed to God, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you have given me to do." So why did God even create you in the first place? We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And why did Paul write to Timothy, "Command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds"? And why did Paul warn the Colossians, "Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong"? And why did James write, "Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says"? Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. And James also warned, "Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do." You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. And the man who says, "I know him," but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And John wrote, "You know that everyone who does what is right has been born of God and knows God." And John wrote, "Dear children, don't let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning." Now, when Jesus preached about doing, he even made it a salvation issue. Look in Luke chapter 10. In fact, doing is the only way to inherit eternal life. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 10, "Love God and love your neighbor. Do this and you will live." Now think hard, Johnny Lukewarm. I read in the Bible that doing is very important. But Pastor Leupold says doing isn't important, just being. Now who are you going to believe? I apply a yellow highlighter to these commands in the Bible to do things. But other preachers use a black permanent marker to blot them out. You know, it's a shame how many preachers out there water down all these scriptures about doing because of their theological bias against good deeds. Now, we all know that salvation is by faith and not by works, but you know, your deeds prove whether or not your heart has really changed. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. So if preaching doing is considered legalism, then you know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, James, Paul, and even Jesus Christ were all preachers of legalism. But it's not legalism to preach about doing good deeds. doing is one of the core messages of the New Testament. Don't just be. Repent and turn to God and prove your repentance by your deeds. Now, that's just something to think about until our next broadcast. We're not going to pray this time. Instead, let's just everybody go out there and do what God wants you to do. Now, I'd like to know your thoughts about today's teaching. Do you agree with me? Do you disagree? Please send me an email at persuadetheworld@yahoo.com. That's persuadetheworld@yahoo.com. I also hope you'll join the Persuaders Club and get a copy of my book. I've been very fortunate and blessed to have this book read and endorsed by people like C. Peter Wagner and Professors Tony Campolo and John Mark Ruthven and Pastors Ted Haggard and Floyd McClung and Joy Dawson and Bill Hammond. Now, I love you and I care about you. So here's Mark with more information.
Thanks, Gordon, and thanks everybody for listening. Do you know somebody who needs to hear today's message? If you call our toll-free number in the next hour, 866-OBEY-GOD, we'll mail you a free cassette tape of today's broadcast, which you can copy and give to your friends. All our tapes are copyable and free, but please remember that we need your donations to stay on the air and give away these free tapes. So please pray and obey God about how much these teachings are worth to you, and return to us your best possible gift after you receive your free cassette.
Hey, time out. If it's your first time contacting us, no donation is required. Just call us.
Our toll-free number is 866-OBEY-GOD. That's 1-866-OBEY-GOD. And please specify you're requesting today's program, cassette tape number L11. Do you believe America needs to hear these messages? If so, we're specifically asking you to join the Persuaders Club and to sponsor this radio broadcast with a monthly pledge of just $15. If you join the Persuaders Club as a monthly partner, we'll send you an autographed copy of the book you've been hearing, written and taught by Gordon James Klingenschmitt, entitled License to Sin, The Number One Reason America is Losing Its Moral Foundation. Just visit our website at persuaders-club.com. That's persuaders-club.com. It's the monthly donations of our Persuaders Club partners who keep this program on the air. Now, if you have comments or questions about today's broadcast, you can email us at persuadetheworld@yahoo.com. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 77222, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80970. Or you can always call us toll-free at 866-OBEY-GOD. And if you remember, please tell us the call sign of the radio station you're listening to. May God bless you and thank you for supporting Persuade the World Ministries. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men.
Hi, this is Gordon James Klingenschmitt. Do you know there are 8 benefits of joining the Persuaders Club? For a monthly pledge of just $15, we'll send you a personalized certificate and add your name to our prayer list. I'll also send you an autographed copy of my book and regular cassette tapes, which you can copy and share with your friends. And you'll help rebuild America's moral foundation. And you'll also get our newsletter, The Persuader, and tax receipts so you can deduct your gift. And of course, you'll have my personal thanks. So please join the Persuaders Club today by visiting our website at persuaders-club.com. Or call us toll-free at 866-OBEY-GOD. And thanks for supporting us with your prayers and donations. You're changing people's lives for Christ. Did you also know there are 8 specific ways to get involved with Persuade the World Ministries? You can become a prayer partner or make copies of our tapes for your friends. Or become a certified persuader to lead small group Bible studies with our materials. Or you can have me speak to your church or organization. Or have your church even become a certified persuader church. For details about these things, just call us toll-free at 866-OBEY-GOD. Or visit our website at persuaders-club.com. That's persuaders-club.com. The broadcast you just heard is property of Persuade the World Ministries. But if you're listening to a digital file like an MP3 or a WAV file, we encourage you to make copies of this program and give it to your friends. Do you know somebody who needs to hear today's message? Just imagine if you emailed this file to them or gave them a disc and it prompted them to give their heart back to God. Someday you'll see them up in heaven, and they'll thank God that you had the courage to reach out to them. So please copy this program and give it to your friends. And take a moment right now to join us in prayer for everybody who listens. Thanks, and may God reward you for the work you do for His kingdom.